Welcome back to Don't Go to Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Luke. Back in the U.S. After... say?
I think so, yeah. That's right. You forgot you've been gone so long.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. I've been, you know, ragazzi, come on.
before we get into that, let me say we are reading The Wise Man's Fear by Patrick Rothfuss, book two of the Kingkiller Chronicles, if you don't already know.
Yes.
We've read the first one before. It was a long time ago.
We figured by this point the third book would be out and we can get ready for reading the conclusion to this trilogy, but not out.
Not even close, allegedly.
Doesn't seem close. Probably never gonna happen. so we figure might as well check it out. See what's going on here. Luke, did you read this one?
Which
before,
is the theme of the summer, by the way. I did read this one. It's been maybe 10 years or so.
Dan has never read this one before.
Okay.
Luke, before we get into the book.
Yeah.
I was recently traveling. And because I was traveling, I was reading in a lot of different places.
Ooh.
And Luke, I'm going to share my screen with you.
Great.
Because we need to do a tier list of spots.
Okay. And we're doing the classic SABCD tier list.
There's F tier as well, but the one I found didn't have F tier on the thing, so we can just like note that in the audio format. Anything we're putting in F tier here. This one
I am also, can I say I'm loving the tier list idea instead of the like number rankings,
yeah,
or like giving something a rating.
Totally.
Tier list, so much better.
Tier list is way better, agreed. The other thing, Luke, this had some pre-populated examples on here. I put some more in here. If there's another, like if you have other ideas as we're going through this, feel free to jump in for us to rate.
Sure.
For reading places. Yeah. Okay. First one, good. I want to put one in here that I think might be controversial. Plane. Where do you put a plane?
Plane.
As a reading spot.
Ooh. I like reading on the plane. I basically, when I'm on the plane, I'm either reading or sleeping.
Same.
And then like watching a movie is third. So I'm going to put plane at a... B, I think.
I'm putting it B because, as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm also reading on the plane. I can rarely get very comfortable reading on the plane.
Sure.
I get focused because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
But I'm always
I think the a lot of this will be like, again, both of us I think are big Kindle fans.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kindle just makes a lot of these a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke, which actually brings me to the next one that I think is interesting, the beach. How do you feel about beach reading?
Okay. I have done this recently as a Southern Californian.
Yep.
You know?
I also did this recently.
I love it in theory.
Yeah, say more.
Because like it's very nice, like you get the sound of waves in the background, and like you're outside kind of doing stuff. I think I actually have a harder time getting comfortable.
Yes.
Even than like on the plane though.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
Actually, if I have like a beach chair, like an actual beach chair, that's pretty good.
Let's say beach towel only, because I think this is an important component. Okay. Is it lower than plane?
I'm going C.
C for
because
beach.
I'm also getting sunburned.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm not getting sunburned. I'm screened up. I'm fully screened.
And I'm trying to people watch.
See, that's
so
my
I,
problem.
Like, get distracted.
If it's a crowded beach, I think it goes in C tier. If it's a crowded beach, because If it's a crowded beach, I'm also distracted and wanting to look at all the people around. If it's not a crowded beach, then it moves up to, like, I think higher than plain B tier.
Listen, like, not crowded beach with, like, a good sitting system.
Okay, that's, we're talking, we call
chairs. Maybe A.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. A not crowded beach with a good sitting system is A. And I think the reason, I don't actually put this in S tier, because the thing that keeps it out of S tier, Luke, is the sand. The sand is not pleasant for my reading experience.
As Anakin tells us.
Mm-hmm. He hates the sand.
Luke,
is there somewhere you want to go on this list? You see some options down here. Is there somewhere you want to go with our reading tier list?
There's a lot of good questions in here. Where do you stand on? Give me cafe. Actually, I think that's a good question.
Cafe. Okay. Good. Cafe is very low for me. I would put cafe probably C tier. It's definitely below plain for me because there is too much going on at a cafe.
Yes, I agree.
Cafe is a place I can do work. Like, I can, like, work on documents or, like, send emails or things like that. But it is not comfortable for me to try and, like, get engrossed in a story in a cafe. So C tier for cafe. Don't like it.
I think for the most part, same. I might put it at B, though, just for the, like, I'm not getting much reading done, to be clear.
Yeah. For sure.
But I might put it at B just for the vibes.
I mean, that's actually why I like it less, because it feels too performative for me. I'm worried that people are watching me read my book in the cafe.
Okay.
And I don't like that. But I'll put, well,
you're worried that you're going to show up on, like, the performative males subreddit or something.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to see me reading, like, Jane Eyre at the cafe and be like, this fucking asshole. It's like, hey, it's my first time, okay? I'm supposed to have read this by now. Stop judging me. Okay, Luke, another controversial one that I'm really curious what you think. Bath.
Reading
in the bath. So many people do this. This is F tier for me. There's not even, this tier list doesn't have F tier, but bath is F tier for me. There's nothing good about reading in the bath, Luke.
Especially, like, that one I can't even, I mean, again, the Kindle versus paper book makes a difference here.
Where,
like,
kind
the Kindle
of.
Kind of makes sense. I don't even understand how you can read with a real book in the bath.
I think both of these
But
are...
I feel like that's what I see people doing.
Totally, Luke. And
when I'm looking.
I've tried this before.
Through their windows.
I've done this, okay?
Okay.
I don't want to sit in a bath that long.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first thing, is I don't, like, if I'm going to read, I'm there for, like, an hour, okay? I want to get some reading done. The bath is gross after an hour. The bath is, it's human soup at that point.
Can I tell you something somewhat related?
Yeah.
So, my apartment complex has, like, a pool and, like, a kind of a nice little area around the pool to hang out, like, you know, lawn chair or what are they called?
Lounge chairs?
that you lay out on? Is it lounge chairs?
Or like a beach chair? Yeah.
And a hot tub.
Ooh, yeah.
And I've tried to do this a few times where I'll go down and I'll, like, lounge out on one of these chairs and try to read.
Yeah.
And then I'll, like, go into the hot tub and try to read in the hot tub. Because I think that is a little bit better than the bath. And it's still, it's just like, I'm like, why? This is not as... I could be at home.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing about it, Luke, is the whole time I'm like, don't drop your book. Don't drop your book. Don't drop your book. Don't drop your book. Because it's over. You drop your book and then it's like the experience has gone from, like, mildly pleasant to, like, ruined your whole fucking day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do this. I'm not interested. I'm never doing it.
I know. I'm seeing some other unhinged ones that we don't have to go through, but I just want to list off.
Yeah, we should say I didn't make all the ones on here, and the person that did had some choices, and I think they're wild.
Gym is insane. Cinema is also insane.
Yes, cinema, I think, has to be a joke, right? There's no way they legitimately were like, oh yeah, sometimes you want to read during a movie.
Right. I do know someone who goes on a walk, who reads on their walk, no. Which I'm always amazed by.
That's
so all of these are low.
I think we're also
What are some other ones that you actually put on here?
Okay. I put a couple on here that weren't like train. Train, I want to separate from plane.
Okay.
I took a lot of trains on my travel and had a lot of time to read on a train. Have you ever read on a train before, Luke?
I have.
And let's talk. There's a difference between a train and like a subway or a metro. I think those are very different reading experiences. And I want to distinguish them because like on a train, it's going to be more than like 15 minutes before you have to get off. Whereas like if you're on the metro,
people are not moving around.
Exactly. You have like your own seat and that kind of thing. Whereas on the metro, you're like, it's active. Things are constantly happening.
Right.
I put train up in A tier for me.
I agree. I do agree that it should be distinct from plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is better than a plane for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give it A tier. I think I agree with you.
Okay. And I will say that like it's also dependent on, we should clarify when we're talking about reading, I think we are going to make the distinction here about audiobook versus reading with your eyeballs,
because that's what I'm imagining or reading with your eyeballs,
right? Because this changes, the calculus changes if you're listening to a book for a lot of these things. But yeah, train I put high. The only reason I don't put train in S tier is because every time I've been on a train, I'm by a window, and I kind of love to watch the scenery go by.
That's fair. Yeah.
Look, the other one I put on here, I was just trying to find what the S tier is.
I see what it is. And I see the one that you're going to go with.
I think S tier is like a cozy fire. And I think it's important, there should be a distinction here between cozy fire and snowing outside versus cozy fire and raining outside.
Okay.
Which one is higher on the S tier? Because I know what I think it is.
I would say snowing.
Snowing for me is top. Snowing for me is like the top of S tier. Cozy fire, nice chair, blanket.
Here's what I'll say though. I'm going to put, because both of these are like, assuming you're like in your living room with like a nice, and you're in your like favorite chair.
Cozied up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think cozy fire and it raining outside without a fire are kind of both S tier.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're all good. Those are all good. They all have to go in S tier for me. Oh, man. I love it.
Sounds great.
I love it.
I know.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of other wild things on here, Luke. Unless something's standing out to you, I'm happy to move on.
I think we've been talking enough about it. I liked it.
Thank you.
If we've forgotten any that we have to talk about, let us know on the Discord.
Yeah. But anyway, Luke, all right, I'm going to stop sharing my screen because I don't want you to see my notes. You want to see what's coming?
Good.
Let's talk book.
Okay, let's talk book. So Wise Man's Fear up to chapter 31, I think is where we stopped.
31.
Let's start with some kind of meta stuff, Dan.
We need to, yeah.
Did you, like, so we read this book a while ago. Again, we've been doing this podcast for a long time. And this was one of...
It's probably been more than 5 years that we read the first one.
Yeah. I forget how early we did this one, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Did you like do a recap or anything, or what would you do?
I didn't, but I should have.
Nice.
I started
out without doing it, and then I was like...
Oh, God. Brutal. It's brutal without a recap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I figured it out at this point. But I have been meaning to go back and read the wiki plot synopsis for the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, which,
yeah,
that's on me.
Okay, that'll show. Maybe that'll show in this episode. I also, just out of curiosity, because I was worried about us retreading a lot of ground.
Yeah.
I listened
to
one of our episodes.
Yeah.
I listened to, this was like today. So I,
oh, no.
I listened to episode one of ours on The Name of the Wind. And it was fine. I don't like listening to myself from like 6 years ago.
Jeez,
I will say that.
Yeah. Oh no.
And so I didn't listen to the rest of them.
Yeah.
Fascinating. It's going to be like, again, I'm not going to listen to the rest of them because I don't want to do that to myself.
Yeah.
It will be interesting at some point. I kind of want us to like redo certain books. Not
okay.
because I think we did a bad job, but more just because like I'm curious how we have changed as people.
Ooh, yeah.
But anyway, that's an aside.
That would be.
Because we did this book when we were like 22 or something.
Yes. Oh.
I don't know. Maybe it's older than that.
I think a little older, but like not by much, Luke. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I love that, Luke. A little, but although I do appreciate you incurring the psychic damage of listening to like, man, that is something where we are in a very unique position to have like a recording of us talking.
Yeah, a lot of recordings.
A lot of recordings of us talking, where normally you get this if you like read something you wrote back like in high school or college and you're like, oh, cringe. But we have hours and hours of content of us from years ago for us to cringe at. So I appreciate you taking the psychic damage
I took some hits.
It's going to take a lot for me to want to dip my toes back into that well, but this is a good idea for a future episode. We'll keep that in the quiver, Luke.
Yeah.
I do want to start, Luke, by leveraging a compliment at Patrick.
Oh, good.
I love how he writes sometimes. I think that, like,
for sure,
there is a really clear reason why these books are so popular. And I remember we used the word prose in our first discussion of.
So this episode actually is where when we said we don't know what prose means.
Correct. The prose is really good in these books, Luke. There's a specific line that's like, even with the description, like it feels alive. Like there's a line where he says, it's the narrator speaking, and he says, for a moment it looked like the innkeeper frowned with irritation, but no, he did nothing of the sort. Standing behind the bar, he looked the same as he always did, his expression placid and agreeable. And there's like a magic he gives Quoth's character, like a little bit of magic that even this like omniscient narrator like is mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like he's able to even like trick the narrator of this story with his expression. And the way that like Patrick is able to communicate that and characterize Quoth with it, and like it just is really good writing.
It is.
In terms of like the descriptions of stuff. And I'm very into it. It's fun to read.
I agree. And one thing that struck out at me coming back to this after a while is it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's also like a little bit more subtle than I remember.
Mm.
Like, I think that the prose is very heavy on the intro, like the very intro.
Like the silence of three parts. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty heavy in a good way on the what's happening in like current time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a little bit more normal
mm-hmm.
than I remember when he's telling the story. I mean, there's some lines that jump out at you, I think, that are like, it's like, ooh, that's a good, like the way that he wrote this is very interesting and good.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this in a compliment, which is that, like, it is, it's not quite as in my face as I remember it being.
Yes. Well, because, and I think it, like, again, I think it is such a great sign of like effective writing, because in those periods where there's not a lot happening, he is like filling the space with like great description and like really interesting sort of like writing when it's like these small moments in the inn, but he's not wasting a bunch of time. Not I say wasting, he's not emphasizing that as much when there's like plot to get through. He is like, he's like, we're moving when he's telling the story of his like school time. And yeah, there's some parts in there that are really vividly descriptive and great. But then when we step back out and we're in this like slow sort of movement of the inn and this time in the village, that's where Patrick is like really leaning into the like, description, and it works so good. It works so good.
It does.
So I just we have to start there, because I don't know how I don't know how far we're gonna go with Denna in this episode and all the crazy stuff that happens plot wise with Quoth, but we have to start by giving props where props are due to Patrick.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'll give you some foreshadowing. I actually don't have too much on Denna on this episode.
You know what? I have a little, but I actually don't have as much either.
Okay, good. Good. All right, let me start with something small then.
Yeah.
This is going to be a thing that I have like kind of brought up a lot, which is when people are talking about fashion. And how do I want to say this? So there's a line here where Quoth and Co. are at the like musical.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah. The fancy music hall where only the best boys play.
Yeah, and Marie goes up there for the first time in this book, and he's describing her.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how she like doesn't care for fashion or frippery, and is like, I think the phrase that he used. But he describes her as wearing like working, traveling clothes. So it's like pants that you can do a day's labor in and like boots. And there he says that she has like really nice tailored clothing, but they're not like, it's not like chasing after the fashion of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, that is fashion, okay? She does care about fashion. And, like, it just bothers me, okay?
Yeah.
I know this is small.
Yeah.
But, like, it's incorrect, first of all. It's incorrect to wear a laborer's clothing to...
Yes. Yes, exactly. She's wearing Carhartt. She's wearing her Carhartt jacket to go play rock music on stage.
It's like, that's fine. Like... if you want to think that that's cool, I guess, but it like people wear clothing, thematic clothing to different types of events. And like, I don't want to make fun of people for like dressing up nice because they want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it like bothers me when Quoth or someone else is like, they're not kowtowing to the new fashion trend.
Yeah.
They're like wearing dirty boots while they're up on stage.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Also, they're tailored clothes, buddy. Like you don't just get those off the rack because you have to put whatever on.
Right. Right. But anyway, that's a small one. I feel like I have to say that in a lot of, because this happens in a lot of books.
Yes, it definitely does. I want to continue on this scene because I think this scene emphasizes really well what I find annoying about Quoth's character.
Okay.
So this scene, Quoth goes up and does his song, or I guess songs, right? And
yeah.
The first one he does is this really simple song that he puts a lot of effort into and makes it look like it's really difficult. And then the second one is like a really difficult song that he makes look really easy. And the thing about it is he's telling a joke with this music, that it's like he's mm-hmm. like sort of playing up how hard this easy song is and making this other one look really easy when it's really hard. And it's, he says it's a joke for only the musicians. And the way he, I think we're going to do the same thing here where Quoth is the one telling the story, so I'm going to criticize Quoth's storytelling and not Patrick's. So Quoth, the way he tells the story is that the only people who are really laughing are the musicians. And everybody else looks confused.
Yeah.
In the real world, if this happened, maybe after the first song, people would be confused. The second song is clearly very challenging music, and he is over the top pretending like it's easy. He's like yawning in the middle of it. He's looking bored. Like, it is so obvious he's telling a joke in that piece that I'm like, I don't believe you that no one laughed. Like, these people are not stupid. Like, these people are not idiots. Like, you're clearly telling a joke. You're hamming it up of how bored you are with this extremely complicated piece of music that looks and sounds very technical. Like, anyone knows that that's a joke. You don't have to be a musician to know that a piece of music is really hard to play and that this person is like pretending to be really bored the whole time. That's an obvious joke.
Right. I will also say, I think that it is like actually a fair good or a good piece of like performance art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm like, this is cool.
It's a cool piece of performance art. I don't think it's like a ha ha joke though, right? Like,
right.
It's something that you realize that he's doing, and you're like whispering to your neighbor, like, oh, this is cool. Like he's doing. Is what he's doing.
Yeah.
You don't like when he finishes, you don't like laugh out loud. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like, not like a punchline.
It's a distinct thing where it's like, oh, wow, this is an interesting performance that I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Like the choice and the like skill in carrying it out.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
So I do feel like it's the kind of thing that people would be like whispering to each other and being like, oh yeah, is this what he's doing? Yeah, 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 that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, yes. And Luke, this is where I get to what I find as the most annoying part about Quoth's character, is that everyone else in this world, if you're not part of Quoth's friends or like inner circle, everyone else is an NPC whose only purpose is to serve as like a foil to show how cool the people that Quoth has designed, has like determined are in his circle are. And this includes like Marie and all the musicians there and like his friends, but everybody else is just like an idiot who is only there to show how cool and smart their friends are.
Right.
That sucks.
That's 100% true.
I'm annoyed. I'm bored by that. I'm annoyed by it. It's really obvious. And this scene is just like, it encapsulates it perfectly for me. And I feel like there's a reason this scene is at the beginning, is Quoth is using this to try and say, hey, remember this. Remember how cool I am. Let me show you this scene to remind you of how cool me and my friends are.
Right. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about Quoth's character.
Yeah.
Throughout our discussion today and in the next few episodes.
Yeah.
I want to say that, I mean, what we're going to say is mostly obvious, which is that Quoth is very annoying.
Yeah.
And in very specific ways. I feel like coming back to this book though, so here's the thing. I'm trying to not to like hate read Quoth.
Yeah.
And so what I'm coming to, I think, is that intentionally or not, I think he's actually very well written.
Yeah. Well, intentionally or not, give Patrick a little bit of credit, please. Maybe.
Well, okay. I don't know. We'll see. But it very, very well written for, like, because he's like 15.
Yeah.
And an asshole.
Yeah.
And a like arrogant.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And like, reading it now, I'm like, all of these things that he's doing actually are like a very good character study, I think.
Let me
further, just because this particular example.
Yeah.
I kind of forget if he was planning to do that. Like, I know he tells the owner that he's like going to do a surprise thing.
Yeah.
And I forget when this happens. If it's like after he meets up with Dina and her,
it is, yeah.
Guy, like, to me, this, his choice to do this seems like he's trying to impress Dina,
mm-hmm.
as always, but also trying to insult the guy that she's with.
Yeah,
because he's like trying to show that he's not like an authentic magician kind of thing.
Musician,
and like
yeah.
A lot of things that Quoth does are in this just like super overreacting to the person that he just was like, that he really dislikes, that he just met or had some interaction with.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like, which reaches its peak with the Ambrose stuff, which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do think that there are a couple of parts that give me pause as to, like, he's telling this story as an older person. He's telling this story as somebody who is like an adult who has the, hopefully, the experience of hindsight. And you would think that they would know how they come across in the story and either would be like, trying to downplay it a little bit, or they would like tell it in a way that feels a little bit more realistic.
It unravels. That's why I said whether intentional or not.
But I do think, because, Luke, like, it's the same character, right? So he could still be like, he might not have any hindsight. He might still just be that same arrogant kid in the present day. And so it's just coming
out.
He's
not presented that way in the present day.
No. And the other thing about
everything else about him is not.
The other thing about it is, like, cool adults seem to be on his team.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Which is like, one of them needs to step in and be like, hey, bud, you're really smart, but like, you're doing the most right now and you need to chill.
That's again, this is where, like, there's a lot of parts of this book where a certain part will, I'll be like, I'll try to latch on to that to explain Quoth,
mm-hmm.
but then they'll be kind of counterbalanced by something else that doesn't quite work. So like the idea of him being a very like immature and like annoying 15-year-old kind of doesn't work with, as you say, like everyone else around him liking him.
Yeah.
And him spending a lot of time with people that are older than him. Right.
And the adults that don't like him are presented as like really unreasonable, or like, it's clear that they're not like nuanced. They just seem to like hate him for some reason. And it's like, yeah, we know the reason, part of the reason why they don't like you, buddy.
Yeah. It's just like, it doesn't quite all work.
Yeah.
And also the fact that all the hot girls like him,
the fact that all the hot girls are like obsessed with him is, oh man.
This child, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's got red hair, Luke, so.
Right. Right. Okay, I'm going to talk about a separate incident.
Yeah.
I want to talk about him getting drugged.
Yeah, good. With the Plumb Bob stuff?
Yeah. So, this drug is wild, by the way.
Yeah, I would describe it
I'm
as...
I'm kind of intrigued by it as an interesting plot point.
Yeah, I would describe it as a really convenient plot device.
Yeah. There's a couple things that I want to talk about, though.
Yeah.
Number one, just go to the medic, to the doctor's office, whatever we're calling it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he can't, Luke, because he...
They, like, won't believe him or something?
Was this after he jumped off the roof or before?
No, this was before then.
Ah, yeah, I think
he's... like, won't go because he thinks that they won't believe him.
Yeah,
I think.
He'll think that they're,
and
like...
It's like, why would they not? It's, like, a very famous drug.
Especially considering, Luke, you don't have to play it like, hey, I've been drugged with this thing. All you have to do is show up and then just tell them the exact same thing you told your friend, like, I taste plums in my mouth, and then suddenly do something erratic, and they'll be like, oh, shit, I think you've been poisoned. And it's like, perfect. Done.
Yeah. It's like, what... Have you never been to... I mean, maybe our world doesn't translate super well, but, like, when I go to the doctor's office and I describe very obvious symptoms... They usually will start with the, like, they're not going to just, like, no. And then they usually will try to help me with it, honestly.
Right. Or at least give you, like, a late pass on your exams.
Yeah. So that's my first part note on it. I do have a bigger one, though.
Yeah. Yeah, my main thing about this, Luke... Again, it's just a very convenient plot device here. It's like, hey, you've got your, like, brilliant character that you need to be a little bit more impulsive. Well, and I love that it's fat soluble because it could show up at any point. It's like, all right, Patrick.
I honestly kind of didn't think about it this way, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's my main thing about it, but... What's your big thing with it here?
I want to say something that drives me absolutely nuts about this.
Yeah.
Which is when we use it to show that Quoth is a really good guy that would never sexually assault anyone.
Oh, my God. Now, hold on.
That's great.
Is that... I didn't know how to interpret that scene, actually.
Oh, okay. Tell me why.
So the scene we're both talking about is when he and... what's her name? Like the one that he keeps describing as the hottest girl of all time. Vela. He and Vela are there.
It's an F.
Oh, Fella.
Fella?
Yeah, you're right. He and Fella are there, and his buddy, is it Simon or Will that's with him?
I want to say... I honestly don't
know
which.
It doesn't matter. One of the boys is with him, and they're talking about how he shouldn't say anything to Denna because it could devolve into, like, something he doesn't want to do. And he's, like, describing, like, her with her clothes off and how, like, his buddy is like, yeah, and it could result in, like, you doing something else. And he's like, what are you talking about? No, it couldn't. It couldn't possibly. Yeah. And he's like, well, why not? He's like, it just couldn't. And... I don't know if I interpret that as, like, sexual, like, he wouldn't assault her, or that he is, like, not interested in her in the slightest in that way.
Well, okay, I think there was, like, a little bit more of explicit, like, he made a joke that he was like, what, are you worried I'm going to, like, ravage her or something like that?
Yeah.
And then his friend is like, yeah, that'd be bad or something like that. And that's when he's like, no, I can't, like, that wouldn't happen or whatever. There's some details in here that I kind of am forgetting, but then he's like, well, why wouldn't that? And he's like, I physically, he like, imagine, he like can't he likens it to something that he physically is incapable of doing.
Correct. Right? Correct. Now, the reason why I had trouble interpreting this is because clearly Fella wants to go on a date with him. Like, clearly Fella is interested with him, right? Interested in him.
I don't know if I get that.
Okay, Luke. They're getting their numbers, right? For the thing. And she's like, hey, do you want to go? I think she asks him if he wants to go, like, get dinner or something with her. And he's like, I can't. I've got to figure out how to trade my chip. And she's like, oh, I'll trade you mine. And she had previously, like, been unwilling to trade hers with anybody else. Like, I think she has a very special regard for Quoth that is beyond, like, friendly. I think she is interested in something more than friendship with Quoth. And I think he's sort of not seeing it. At least this is my reading of it. And so my reading of this scene was like, oh, this is where she's realizing he is not interested in her in that way in the slightest. And like, because she has like a quiet moment. And it sounds like you interpreted that as like her realizing how great of a guy Quoth is that he would never even think of like hurting her, which I think is like an interpretation that I was struggling to figure out if that was it or if it was that her quiet moment of realization was that Quoth is never and will never be interested in her at all. And it's only until after that that he sees a moment in her eyes that she's falling in love with one of his other friends.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I can see that, actually.
I didn't know how to interpret it.
I think it could be either one of those.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I mean, aside from Quoth being like the smartest, hottest, best musician of all time, it's hard for me to figure out why she's that interested in dating him.
I have kind of never, I think maybe I had a block about her not being interested in him. And like, I have always read her as like their friends.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like mostly because, again, I don't know how old she is.
Yeah.
But like, I just can't picture Quoth as a, like, because he's so young, you know? I do like your explanation more than mine, because I was gonna complain about it not making sense in the context of the drug, for it to show that he would like never sexually assault anyone.
Right.
So let's take yours, actually.
He was thinking about, wasn't he talking about like killing people and stuff or like kicking a puppy?
Yeah.
Come on, guy. That's
exactly. That's why I was like, if you were gonna murder someone, like this is basically the like, if a guy takes it, he immediately starts raping people.
Right.
Drug.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Okay, but let's move on.
Luke, can you remind me what Denna's deal is? Because I don't have a lot about Denna, but I don't remember why she is the way that she is. and like what her deal is. Like, is she just like a kind of a scammer type of a guy or what?
I think so. I mean, I don't remember. Like, I did a little summary, so I don't have, like, a character dive on her again. So Quoth meets her when he's traveling to the university, and they're part of the same, like, musical troupe.
Yes.
Like, temporary musical troupe. I feel like she probably has, if I'm kind of vaguely remember her having, like, somewhat of a sad past before that.
But she's not musical, right?
She is.
Oh, she's a singer. That's right.
She's a singer. She sings. When Quoth is earning his pipes,
yes, they do.
He like needs someone to help him, and she helps him.
That's right.
Like, surprisingly,
yeah.
So she is a very, I think, talented musician.
Yeah, yeah. But she's like, she's dating a bunch of guys, and
she is kind of like,
I just don't know what the deal is. What's the
doing like, different ways of like, she doesn't have like a career, I guess.
No, it doesn't seem like it. But like, it feels like her job is designed to make Quoth like jealous of her periodically.
Right.
And I don't know if it's like, if that's, is Quoth unreasonable for being jealous, or is Quoth very rational for being jealous? Like, is she actually dating these guys, or is she like, is it clear that she's like using them for, to get nice hotel rooms and stuff?
I mean, I think that usually it's kind of like a mutual thing, right? Like, I think that like this guy that she's seeing, this kind of rich guy that she stays in his hotel room, like, I feel like they're both kind of on the same page here, where she's like, I'm using this to like have a nice place to stay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I get the sense that he's like, yeah, I'm paying for having access to you, basically.
He's doing a pretty woman.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I should say, she does kind of have a job. She, in theory, has a patron that like doesn't, that we hear about a couple times in this.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, she's kind of like, I don't know, like finding ways to live glamorously off of her charms.
Yeah. It seems that way. Yeah. But also keeps telling Quoth he's like the real one for her, right?
Yeah.
How is Quoth? I mean, Quoth's clearly a naive 15-year-old. If I'm as smart as Quoth, you gotta be like, you gotta be like, wait, am I just one of those guys? Like, am I just an investment she's making right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not good.
I mean, again, this is one where I'm like, this is a good character study of Quoth.
Yeah.
Because like, he totally would.
Well, and what I love about this special is that like his buddy, I think it was Simon, like calls him on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it was Will. Will points out to him that like, hey, your deal with Denna is a little bit, I think it might be a little bit much. And he calls him on it, granted, like after he is talking about breaking into the room and stealing the ring for her. And it's like, dude, you swore you were done with that guy, and now she didn't even ask you to do this. You're just like deciding you're gonna do this for her to like, that could fuck up your whole life. Like, what? Why? This
one makes me so mad.
But I think his friends are calling him on it. I think his friends are like, hey, guy, maybe stop.
Yeah. And again, everything Quoth does is so Quoth.
It's so Quoth. Can we talk about this thing with the ring and Ambrose?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
the background, right, is that Denna has like a little bit of a fling, a few dates with Ambrose.
Who is Quoth's nemesis.
Who's Quoth's nemesis. He's like a super rich guy.
Who is like,
also an asshole.
I should say in a called shot here, who's going to be the king who Quoth kills, or at least very closely related. I mean, they're hinting, Patrick is hinting so much about him getting ever closer to the throne as more and more members of his family die. So like, it's gonna be Ambrose, because it has to be, because like, that's the sort of thing you're setting up. Unless, now I will say an amazing twist, Luke, would be if it's not Ambrose that Quoth kills, but in fact the person right before Ambrose, so that Quoth puts Ambrose on the throne. Now that would be a very interesting,
that would be a fun twist.
Dimension.
I do think that there's a lot of setting up here for Ambrose to be at least involved in the king killing act in some way.
But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So when Or so Ambrose like says that he'll like fix up her ring or something like that, and then they break up and he like never returns it.
Yeah.
And then Quoth is like, oh yeah, I think he doesn't say this to her, but he's like, I'm gonna impress her by getting it back.
He does, yes.
And it's just don't, man. You're doing so much.
So anyway, he
breaks in to Ambrose's, and then this event, which like he shouldn't do, because like I don't know how big of a deal this ring is, but it can't be like, it's just you. It's not your job. It's not that like her ring can't. I don't know.
She doesn't even talk about it that fondly. She like mentions it a little. It's not like the most important ring she's ever owned or anything. And he's like, I need to potentially sacrifice my tuition and my well-being for this trinket.
Right.
Which, again, characterizes Quoth very well because he's very arrogant. He thinks it's going to be no big deal at all.
And he thinks it's going to be like a white knight situation, right?
Correct.
The thing that drives me nuts is that this is like the inciting incident for like all of his troubles for the rest of this section.
The rest of this section.
And probably moving forward a lot.
Yes, 100%.
Because he can't go to the doctor.
Yep.
He is being like, I think it's called malfeasance.
Yes.
When he's being attacked because Ambrose has his blood.
Yep.
And he's like, it messes up the next like few months. It messes up his relationship with the woman that he's like borrowing money from.
Yep.
Who keeps like sexually harassing a 15-year-old boy, by the way.
Correct. Yes. But he's mature for his age, Luke.
He's not. He's very immature. and it's like, just stop doing this.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This feels too... It's too much. Like, the thing that frustrates me the most about this whole deal is how quickly it leads to like horrible conflict and like a horrible pickle that he gets himself in. When like they so quickly rule out Ambrose as the person doing malfeasance to Quoth for a reason that seems okay at the time, and then immediately after he realizes it's not Desi, I think is her name, that did it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh wait, actually it is Ambrose because of this other reason that we could have come to in our like logic brainstorm session. We just forgot about conveniently.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's the most obvious answer to this whole thing at the very beginning is to assume it's the guy who hates your guts. And the test they do is so easy. They're like, hey, when you feel it coming, we're going to watch Ambrose and see if he's available.
Yeah.
You could have done that day one.
I know.
It's so frustrating when it's like, are you guys smart or not? Because
Like, when he goes to investigate, I want to say her name is Devi. I think you're right.
Yeah.
The woman that loans him money. He like confronts her with it, and then she like has some reaction, and then he's like, oh, it was totally her.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like starts attacking her.
Yep.
With his like puppet or thing, whatever. Yeah. And it's like, you're not that good of a body language reader, man.
He's so confident. And then she's reaching for the drawer, and he's like, that's it. That's exactly. There's a subtle look in her eye. That must be it. That's where she keeps the blood. And then no, not at all. He fucks that whole thing up so badly.
I'm so tired of people reading so much information from eyes.
Which I honestly think is written, at least this section is written in such a way that's like, yeah, he fucks up really bad.
Yeah. You can't do it that well. I mean, some stuff you can, but like when people are like, I saw a flicker of some specific emotion. No, you did not. Okay? It's not how eyes work.
Yeah. Yeah. And Luke, I am I do think that this would be a great opportunity, because he fucked up so bad here, to like doubt himself in the future, right? To be like, if he gets another situation like this, like if Quoth has a moment of doubt where he's like, I think it's this, but I'm not sure, and it leads to something like, ooh, I think that's like spicy little character growth there. But I have a feeling like nothing is going to change about Quoth after this horrible interaction where he completely ruins his relationship with this person.
Right.
And is a total idiot and is just like so dumb about it.
I know. So dumb.
And like, he also did
just like one of Dina's rings.
Yeah, correct. The stakes were so low, and now you're like in a horrible position.
Yeah.
Doing it to yourself, buddy. Also, Luke, how hard is it to get somebody's blood?
Yeah.
Feels like it wouldn't be that hard to get somebody's blood.
Listen, okay, when you start at the university,
yeah,
we were hand, what are these things that he's trying to make that like protect him from
malfeasance? Oh my gosh, yeah.
I know they're expensive, but you get one day one.
To borrow. It's a loan.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's unclear to me. I feel like they might have to be like personalized.
Yeah, maybe. But like,
or maybe you like, I feel like you can make them and then like you put your drop of blood in.
Yeah.
But they're maybe reusable. But yeah, these have got to be everywhere. Okay. We can't just rely on social norms.
Right. Come on.
Blood, that's all. I need just a little bit of your blood.
Luke, especially considering we're getting this from the perspective of a man the whole time. Think about all the women.
Yeah.
At this school.
Yeah.
Their blood is everywhere.
Right. It's really bad though, Dan.
It's fucked
People
up.
People don't do that.
He could get expelled. So, or the Iron Law or whatever the fuck they're going to do potentially.
Right.
I don't know.
Freaking Quoth. God, Quoth wastes so much time. By the way, like, freaking, we have this thing about him needing to make money.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just like figure out your schedule, my man. All right. Like the amount of hours he's putting in on like dumb stuff.
Like,
he's insane.
Like ring based activities.
Yeah. This thing is, oh my, I'm going to lose it. And then the other one is his class with Elodin.
Yeah.
He gets a reading assignment, and it's like, obviously this is a ridiculous assignment. Like, he's trying to do, everybody knows that Elodin does like goofy stuff. And so like, try to understand that he doesn't want you to spend 50 hours perusing these books. Like, obviously that's not the lesson.
Yeah.
But Quoth put, he says 50 hours.
Especially,
dude, what are you doing?
He was explicitly told to read like one of them, I think.
Yeah.
Make some money.
You think that you're going to impress him by finding and reading them all? Is this your first time meeting the guy?
Okay, it's not his first time meeting.
Go make some money.
It's not his first time meeting
the guy. You have tremendous talents in areas that are lucrative. Okay? Stop like spending all of this time searching for books, like buying drinks, looking for dinner. It's insane.
Yeah, but Luke, what's the point of being alive if you're not living, you know? What's it all for?
All right. So true.
Yeah. Also, Luke,
can we actually talk about well, actually, are you staying on the same theme because I'm changing?
There's one thing that I want to say here in this vein. So Quoth has a moment when he's trying to scrounge up the money where he's like, ooh, maybe I can just get a bunch of gold wire from the fishery. Hey, can I check out a bunch of gold wire for a new project? They're like, actually, a lot of students try this right around the time that tuition's due. You can't, unfortunately. Hey, just find out when the cutoff is and get it before that.
Wait, so what's he trying to do? Just like steal it?
I think he's trying to use it to like as like collateral or like to get a loan or something like that. But yeah, he's essentially trying to like get valuable materials from the fishery to pay for tuition.
Okay.
Or like get a loan for tuition.
Okay, this is somewhat related to what I want to say.
Yeah.
About tuition in general.
Yep.
I have two notes. First off, the university needs to have, like, why do you not have your own, like, payment system going on?
Look, they don't want to be in the business of loaning money, okay?
Ridiculous. Of course you want. That's the best business. That's the easiest way to make money, first of all.
Yeah, it actually really is.
And also, like, you can just be, like, as the one that's getting the money... Ultimately, like, it would be really easy to do. You can either pay us, I don't know, 6 talents now or 4 talents now and 4 talents at the end of the semester. That way you'd get a little bit interest.
I think the problem with it, though, Luke, and I think the only reason it works in our society is because of how easy it is to track people down to extract money from them. But, like, once you've already taken the classes, you've received the value from the institution. It's not like they can repossess your knowledge.
Right.
So if you just, like, skip town.
Yeah, but you can only do that once.
Yeah, that's true. So I think...
And they do, like, 4 semesters a year.
This is true, Luke, but that last semester has got to be pricey, you know? Because it gets more expensive over time.
Right. Okay, but then the other one that I want to say, because everyone is complaining about, I know it's not called exams, but I'm going to call it exams.
Yeah.
I mean, is it just called admissions, I guess?
Something like that.
They have to go answer questions.
Yeah.
And they get their tuition set by how well they do.
Yeah.
I feel like this should just be done at the end of the previous year or at the previous semester, because like you're already assessing people, right? Like... I think it's been a while since I've read this book, so I kind of don't remember how their semesters work.
I hope they have finals.
I mean, at this point, the professors like know the students, right? So like, they should know how to set their tuition.
Yeah, and they're only asking questions in their subject area.
Yeah.
So it's not like you are trying to assess some other area of these students. You're not trying to be like, how well-rounded are you? You're just like, hey, do you know my shit? It's like, yeah, they took a class with you. What was their grade? What's their GPA?
Right.
We've got a formula. Hey, math guy.
How did they do last semester in your class?
Math guy, give me a formula that we can just plug their GPA in and it'll spit out what their tuition should be.
Yeah. It's like they say that it's like a burden on the masters too.
Yeah.
It's like, they could fix that though. I get that you would have to do it like the first time.
Luke, what we haven't seen yet is there is a level of administrators above the masters who have set the rules, and the masters actually, their hands are tied. They have to do it.
Right.
Because admin, you know, the president of the college is like, well, this is how we do it. So
freaking admin, man. Classic.
The dean would fire them if they didn't do this. It's part of the curriculum.
That's right. That mean old dean.
Silly though.
Anyway, it's a bad system.
Very silly.
Very silly.
Luke, I've got a note about Denna, sort of.
Okay.
So Quoth is feeling bad. He's feeling down in the dumps. And he gets back to his room and his most important possession in the world is gone.
Yeah.
Devastated. Absolutely devastated. Right. 2 days later, he finds out, oh, nobody stole it. Well, somebody did kind of steal it from him, but it was to build him a loot case for it.
Yeah.
And it was Denna trying to do something nice. It wasn't nice, Denna. You did actually fuck that up.
So this is actually what my last note is about too.
You did actually fuck that up pretty bad, Denna, because that's his favorite thing ever. You can't do a surprise gift with it. You fucked up.
So the other thing is that, like, taking his loot for this does not, like, add to the surprise.
No.
Because they didn't actually need the loot to make it.
They used it to, like, get the sizing right at the... Like,
well, but they say, like, that any loot will fit.
You're right, but they wanted to, like, fit the padding that they currently have in it to his loot. You're right. You can change. They've designed the case in such a way that you can change the padding. It should fit any loot in there. But I think what Denna's point was is that they wanted to, like, press fit it for this loot for now. Which is not, like, it's great, but you don't need to keep it after you fit it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
First of all. Second of all, don't steal his fucking loot, okay? He, like, right. attacked somebody for damaging it last time. Don't steal it. Don't touch it.
It is a bad move. Also, because, like, did she break into his room?
Yeah.
Don't do that to people.
What if he was entertaining a lady? What if he had, like, Devi over?
Well, also, just, it's a huge invasion to break into someone's room.
Yeah, Luke.
So don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't steal his property. And, like, don't do that. Don't do any of it. I mean,
yeah.
Nice gift.
Dan, however, all of this being said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. It's a great gift.
Wonderful gift, beautiful, beautiful moment between the two of them. This is
kind of my note. I know that you're gonna rain on the parade here in a second.
Yeah.
But my note, it's an amazing gift. I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say needs to be sold immediately for a much cheaper case, and that money pay off his debt.
I mean,
we're talking about investments here, okay?
Yes, okay, Dan, the thing that you're not realizing though is that Quoth could so easily make this money back.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I mean, a couple things. I vaguely remember talking about this last book, but, like, just take a semester off, my guy.
Can't do that, Luke. He'll forget everything.
But also, stop spending hundreds of hours, as I said earlier, doing nonsense. Okay?
Yeah, but M'lady.
Also, M'lady's, like, request her wages ring. For your labor. Like, did you catch that at the fancy music place, they don't get paid?
Yeah, when people buy him drinks, he just has to, like, figure out how to split it with the establishment. Yeah.
Insane. What are you talking about? I know that this owner is a cool guy.
Yeah, really cool.
And all.
Really cool.
But he should be paying, like, his entire thing rests on you guys doing, like, incredibly skilled labor.
Yeah, but there's no way they don't have any, like, negotiating power, you know? Like, it's just them. Like, the venue has all the bargaining power, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, if they want to play somewhere, they have to go to this venue, right? And so even though they're really skilled, like, I don't know what they could do to get some bargaining power in this situation.
Right. They don't, it's not like they all know each other.
Ah, yeah.
Get together and.
Nah.
Yeah. I just think about like how much this place is like, hosting a very large crowd of very wealthy people mm-hmm. who are all like spending a lot of money there.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, just give, like, if you perform at this, like, they're getting in for free, so sure. Okay, also,
no,
yeah, okay,
they're
there's
not.
A cover.
They're not, there's a cover.
Well, okay, no, the, like, Quoth is getting in for free.
Yeah, but everybody else has to pay a,
everybody else is
decent
paying
amount.
A good amount to get in and a good amount on drinks, okay?
Yeah.
Just pay the musicians, dude.
Can't do that, Luke. It, because if they're not amateurs, then they can't play in like the Olympic, the music Olympics.
You're right, actually.
It's also why he forgoes pay at the other place that he plays at, and they just give him room and board.
He's got room and board, Dan.
Yeah. So, but if he took money, he couldn't play in the music Olympics. So.
That's true. That's you're right. I apologize.
It's okay, Luke. It's something you probably forgot from the first book.
Man, at the just work at like a coffee shop. Okay.
Luke, this is actually, this would be my critique of Denna too, though, because like if I'm Quoth and I'm really into Denna and I'm like, oh, I want to date Denna. I think Denna and I would be good together because clearly that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, hey, Denna, it really makes me feel uncomfortable that you're like always dating other people. Can you not do that? Maybe just get a normal job somewhere. Instead of that, he's just like, God, I got to be the best. I got to be better than all of them.
Right.
Maybe she's not worth it, Quoth. I'm going to be Will here. She's not good for you, Quoth.
That's true. She's definitely not good for you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Luke. Well, that's our first quarter so far.
Yeah.
We're about to see how this whole ring thing resolves.
If it does, yeah.
Ah, just break in again. That should solve all your problems, you know? Forget making this, like, armor thing. Just try breaking in again. That should work.
Yeah, totally.
No trouble there. You got to get that ring still anyway, you know? Anyway, Luke, I'm sure we'll see that in the next part where this whole thing resolves and Quoth finishes the semester at the top of his class.
Of course, yes.
But, you know, until we get there, we'll be coming up with hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.